Greetings, everyone, and a happy feast of Pentecost today. Boy, you know, with these trumpets, I was beginning to think it was the Feast of Trumpets. We must do that on the Feast of Trumpets, have that, sing that same hymn again. Hopefully everyone had enough to eat and not too much, so you can stay awake for this service. God's Spirit is one of the central themes to this day of Pentecost that we are observing. Acts chapter 2 describes the dramatic events that the early believers experienced as they assembled on this holy day, this same holy day in 31 AD. So we can imagine them assembling, and we're assembling on the same day. Yet their day was somewhat unique, because divided tongues as a fire came and rested on those chosen by God to be filled with His Holy Spirit. These believers formed the nucleus of the early New Testament Church of God. And they fellowshipped with one accord for some time afterwards, after that day of being Spirit-filled on Pentecost. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. This chapter gets a lot of attention on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And here it's speaking of these Spirit-filled believers on that day. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And let's note that the physical temple was still part of their lives and worship at this time. Most of these believers were Jews. Probably not all, but most probably were, and they considered themselves Jewish. But now they were different types of Jews, a Spirit-filled Christian type Jew, although they didn't call themselves that at this time. With one accord and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. These are beautiful words. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And ever since that day, God has continued to draw and add and grant repentance to those invited to be part of His body, the church. And we are here in faith, having accepted that call from God and the challenge to turn from our sins and be baptized and receive the gift of His Spirit, as Peter preached out on that same Pentecost day back in 31 AD. And if God's Spirit is truly in us, that makes us not only part of the body and the church of God, but a temple that houses and shelters God's Spirit that's in us. And this is the basis for my message today. I want to connect today's feast day to God's Spirit in us and to us, the temple of God. There's a connection there. And I want for us to leave today with thoughts of better providing a clean and holy temple for God's Spirit to reside in. God is in us. We are the temple of God's Spirit. And we need to provide a clean and holy environment for that Spirit. I've entitled this message, "We Are the Temple for God's Spirit." We are the temple for God's Spirit. God's Spirit in us makes all the difference. Without His Spirit, we are on the outside somewhat looking in. We don't then have access without His Spirit to the power that helps us overcome the flesh. That old man still wants to be there in our lives. Let's turn to what Paul wrote in the church to Rome in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh," and Paul here is speaking metaphorically, "but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." And we read this scripture many, many times. So to be a true Christian, we have to know for sure that we have Christ in us, His Spirit in us. Over time, makes us a new and very different person than what we used to be. And as time goes on, His Spirit will even change us all the more. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. God's Spirit continues to make changes in our lives. He doesn't do it overnight, all at once. His Spirit in us allows repentance and conversion to take down that old man who, again, doesn't want to die. As we submit ourselves to His Spirit in us, and every time I say His Spirit, I'm trying to say in us because I want to emphasize that today, in us. That Spirit guides and prompts us to judge ourselves and correct ourselves to live a clean and holy, sin-free environment. The Spirit of God wants to be housed in such an environment. A clean house, an unspotted environment. And we have to keep a clean house. It's not always fun to go clean the house. You got to move furniture around. You've got to get in the corners. You got to reach up and down. And sometimes it seems overwhelming. But I'm speaking spiritually here. We want to keep a clean spiritual house for God's Spirit to reside and to continue to reside in us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes, "Do you not know that you are," and here Paul is writing to not only the church, but its membership, so this can be taken as a whole, it can be taken somewhat individually, but mostly probably as a church as a whole, "that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Verse 17, "If anyone defiles or destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So we are the temple of God. And that temple, again, must be kept holy and clean to satisfy God's Spirit and empower us to be better Christians. We do not want God's Spirit to leave, to back off, to lessen the power that it has in our Christian lives. And this holiness that we work on parallels, in one sense, the past physical temple and sanctuary of ancient Israel. that housed all the furnishings and all the holy things of God. I can imagine that temple being very clean, very spotless. It was where God resided. God's Spirit expects to reside in a righteous environment and not a den of immorality or disgrace or anything that would defile the temple. And we see this pointed out by Paul, who gives us a very good example of this uncleanness in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn over a few chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 15. But before I go there, let's remember that the city of Corinth was widely known for immorality and for everything sinful. Everything sinful. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? That is, of Christ's body. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot, a prostitute? And Paul was probably bringing this up because he was writing to the church that was in the midst of all types of immorality. Certainly not. Verse 16, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body, his physical body. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who or that is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Those verses have meaning. You know, when you're bought, you somewhat become a slave then. And you don't have any rights. You have to obey your master. And Paul is bringing that point out, that once we become his, and his spirit is in us, we are his slave. God owns us. He's purchased us by the blood of Jesus Christ. So our bodies must be kept spiritually clean and faithful for his spirit to continue to dwell in us. We can't be hypocrites. In life, we can't be double-minded. We can't be those that maybe secretly attach themselves more to this world than to God and his church. Our mind and body needs to be loyal to the spirit that we shelter. We shelter his spirit. We have to be loyal to that spirit. And God's Spirit is very willing to help us in our holiness and in resisting the old man that still likes to crop up from time to time. We need to become a bondservant, a slave of God. Paul had labeled himself a slave of God with no rights, for he knew that he had been bought for a price also. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 22. We have one verse there that Paul writes concerning being a slave. And that is probably the most accurate translation for that Greek word. Many times it's a servant. Many times it's a bondservant. But a slave is probably the most accurate translation. Verse 22, Romans 6. Now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. God promises life eternal as we sincerely and faithfully produce holiness before Him. And that's a long process, producing holiness for His Spirit that's in us. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he likened the church to a spiritual building. And again, we've read this scripture many times, a spiritual building and temple for God's Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore you, the church. And Paul here was also in the church at Ephesus, was addressing many Gentiles who had come into the church. And we see that when he says, therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. These Gentiles were not Jews. So they were viewed very different by even the Jewish converts. But fellow Christians with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we are a dwelling place for God's Spirit. And we're a work in progress. I think that was mentioned this morning. You know, we're not a finished product yet. We're not quite perfect yet. I don't think anyone in here is quite perfect yet. We individually and collectively are becoming and building ourselves into this dwelling place, a temple, a sanctuary for God's Spirit. The constructing of God's temple has somewhat strict building codes. You know, just not anyone is God's Spirit going to reside in. These codes put requirements on us in our daily lives to live that life holy, to live righteously, obeying the commandments and having deep, sincere faith. The Apostle Peter also understood this aspect of constructing a spiritual building with reference to us as living stones, building blocks in its formation. And Peter also addresses this house cleaning that we have to do personally. And again, it's not always fun. And it's hard work to clean that building up, to clean the house up, to make a suitable environment for God's temple. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit. He's talking about house cleaning here. All hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And it takes effort to go and clean our house. But the assumption is we're going to do it. We have that as a duty. It's on our to-do list to keep the house clean. Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, not a dead stone, a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a temple, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So again, as we journey life, we daily shelter God's Spirit within us. When we go to the grocery store, we're sheltering God's Spirit. When we go to work, when we go here, go there, when we interact with people, we are housing, we're a dwelling place for God's Spirit. So our image and our attitude and our conduct of life should reflect holiness to all that we interact with. And that sometimes sounds and is a little frightening, isn't it? To be as perfect as we can, to demonstrate to those out there on the outside that we are different, that we have something special residing in us, His Spirit. God has called us, though, to do this. And we can do it. He will see us through. He will be a part of us as living stones to finish the work that He started. But we have to be a part. We have to agree to be a part of that process. Our job is to always be mindful of who and what and where we engage ourselves daily in all of our time and in all of our passions. Who and what and where. Sometimes our time gets taken up in areas that is going to tear down our character and dirty up the house. And we will wake up to a situation where we find, whoa, have I fallen down? The next step is to just to get up and start house cleaning and get holiness back into our lives. We do not want God's Spirit to leave us. You know, Paul gives us strong advice, and this is strong advice in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a way we can conduct our lives out in the world. It's advice. So we fit it in as we need to. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Those on the outside. Those who don't quite understand our mission in life, where we're heading. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, a reference to Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Paul is asking, what do we have in common with those things that oppose our core Christian principles. What do we have in common that may in fact keep us from having a closer, more holy relationship with God? You know, sometimes, of course, when we work in the world, we have to associate with the world. And you can't escape that. So I don't mean that. But there's times when we do have to separate ourselves from those that we work with. And in more times than not, instead of our fellowship with outsiders, bringing them up, that association of them with us brings us down. More times than not, not always. So we have to be very, very careful. Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with the idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We have to come to accept the fact that we're different. We're not the same as Buddy Joe over here or Susie Jane over here. We're different. And we have to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. As God has said, continuing on, and this is coming from Leviticus chapter 26, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, therefore, and this is coming from Isaiah chapter 52, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And that's what we've been talking about, keeping the temple of God clean and holy. And I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Going on into chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness or defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is nothing more than what is expected of us, to stay clean. You know, God's Spirit wants a clean place to reside and do its work in us. God doesn't want to work and create holiness in something that is not attempting and trying to be holy itself. God wants a lasting family relationship with us. Christ is patiently waiting for the first fruits to eventually be gathered together to Him at His return. 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting to wind down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up, verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is coming back. He is coming back for His elect. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Verse 16, because it is written, coming from Leviticus chapter 11, all the way back in the Old Testament, be holy, for I am holy. Now, to be holy touches on every aspect of our lives. From what we eat, we have laws allowing us to eat certain meats that are clean. And if we ignore that and bring in unclean meats into us, then what we're telling God, I don't want to be clean. We show our holy and cleanness and our separation and having God's Spirit in us by how we even eat the food that's presented before us. And we need to know for sure that it is clean and not just say, well, it's probably clean. You know, that's not being holy. But everything from what we eat to how we conduct ourselves to how we talk to people, every aspect has a holiness part to it. God wants holiness from us so He can remain in us and do His creative work. Again, He's not finished with us. It's a work in progress. We are the temple of the living God. We shelter His Spirit in us. Let's keep that always with us as we leave today, to remember that we have a special duty to obey and have faith and to be holy and to stay clean because His Spirit is in us. So, brethren, let's be thankful for this holy day. Let's be appreciative for all that God has given us, especially His divine Spirit in us.